I'm so thankful to be back tonight. Praise God. I really thank God. And it really is the Lord that is the reason I'm here tonight. God's help. I had a slight accident with my leg and my knee, and went to the doctors. It happened to be a Christian doctor, finally, a therapist. And he said, the good news is you can get better. The bad news is it's going to take you some time. And both of them were right. But I'm thank God that I'm here tonight. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank God for the kindness of this church, for your Pastor Carter that's been so kind to me. And all of you, we love you and appreciate you so much. God bless you. This is a wonderful place, and I am so privileged to just be a little part to come here and to minister and to receive. I receive. I get blessed in the song service. I get lifted up and blessed. Hallelujah. And it's a privilege to be here. God bless you. Thank God for the light at Times Square. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I would like you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles tonight, to Psalm 34. This is one of the great Psalms. All Psalms are great, but some are just beyond others. That's the truth. They just are. This is one of them. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Think of that. A commitment. Now, this is a commitment. And a promise and a commitment that he's making and a pledge. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. I'm going to boast in the Lord. I'm going to boast about the Lord. Not other things, not people, not my situation, not anything but the Lord. I'm going to boast in him. And the humble will hear of it, and they'll be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm going to come back to that. Now the next verse, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. That's why he's making these great promises. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Now, speaking of himself in verse 6, this poor man, David, cried out to God, and the Lord heard him. I cried and God heard me. And he saved this man, David speaking of himself, out of all of his trouble. I cried out and God heard me. Now, an interesting, wonderful thing is if you turn over to Psalm 142, you'll find out his prayer. The prayer that he prayed is in Psalm 142. This is the prayer that he's talking about. I cried out to the Lord with my voice. This is the prayer that he's talking about. With my voice to the Lord, I made my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I declared unto him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then they knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, and there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge failed me. No one cared for my soul. I cried to you. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought low, very low. Anybody in here ever been very low? Very low. He was low. I've been low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I am. Bring out my soul, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. This prayer was prayed by David when he went to the cave of Adullam. The story is this. David now is so famous, and King Saul decides to kill him. And David is playing with his harp before him, and an evil spirit comes on King Saul, and he takes his spear and goes and tries to pin David to the wall, and he escapes. And that's the beginning of David running for his life, and the fear seizes him. And King David then escapes out of his presence. And to make a long story short, it's these several chapters, three whole chapters, just deal with King Saul trying to kill him, 17, 18, and 19, chapters of 1 Samuel, of King David trying to kill King Saul, trying to kill King David. David trying his best to kill him, and tries to kill him with the sword, and then he runs out. David escapes. The first time he goes and goes with Samuel and cries out and prays with Samuel, and Saul sends the three delegates of men to kill David, and the spirit of prophecy comes on them and they can't kill him, and sends a second group and they can't kill him, and a third group and they can't kill him, and finally Saul decides he'll go and kill him, and the spirit comes on Saul and he prophesies and he can't kill him. And then David comes back and meets with Jonathan and says, "Jonathan, what in the world? Your father is trying to kill me." And he's got the whole nation. And in 1 Samuel 19, he tells everybody, all of them, everyone, kill David. Find him and kill him. And David is fleeing for his life. Fear is on him. And he is trying, and then he meets with Samuel, and Samuel goes and talks to his father, and then his father first says he won't hurt him, and then it won't kill him, and then he changes his mind, and they're having a big feast at the new moon. Everybody's there. David is supposed to be at his place at the table, and he's missing. And the third day, he asks Jonathan, because he's going to kill him when he comes. He asks Jonathan, "Where is David?" And Jonathan makes an excuse for him. And Saul takes his spear and throws it at Jonathan. He says he's going to kill David, and says some terrible things about Jonathan at that meeting that I won't repeat. And it's a terrible thing. And Jonathan goes to David and said he's going to try to kill you. They cry together. They hug. They make a covenant. And David doesn't know where to go. He is stripped, and then everything is gone. So finally, he says, "I'll escape to Gath." Now remember, David has killed the great warrior from Gath, Goliath of Gath. David killed their hero. Now he goes back to Gath and tries to escape. And when he gets, he's presented to the king, and then he hears the men saying among us, "This is David. This is the man they sang to. Saul has slain thousands, David tens of thousands. This is David, the king, the man that could be the king. He's here." And David hears this and he doesn't know what to do. Now he's afraid he's going to be killed by them. And then he decides he'll act crazy. So he spits all over his beard and acts as crazy and loses all self-respect and goes out and says he scribbles on the door and he writes like a crazy man, probably on his knees, and his beard is down and he's spitting and slobbering and it's all over him. And the king sees him and says, "You brought a crazy man to me." To quote him, he says, "And I've already got plenty of those." He says, "And I don't need one more crazy man in this. In my cabinet," he says. And David hears this, and how David escapes. And he finally escapes, and he gets to the cave of Adullam. And there is where the psalm is born. And he prays the prayer that I read to you in Psalm 142. He prays that prayer, and God meets him in the cave, and the great psalm is born in this hour of trouble. And he writes it, and he's made a covenant now with God. He's prayed this prayer of 142, and then he makes this covenant with God in the psalm, in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. I am going to praise you, God, because you heard my prayer. And he's still in the cave, but he's got the victory. And this cave experience will change the king's life forever. He will go from now, he will never be the same after this experience. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. Hard places, and Saul trying to kill him, and the fear that's on him, and he is going for all these months. I don't know how long it was exactly, but it's a long time. All the time with Samuel, and the time that he's gone back and forth, it's been a long time now, maybe a year or so. And now he's finally in the cave, and he prays, and he gets the victory. Folks, let me tell you, the secret is, don't ever surrender when you're in a hard place and in a trial, like the pastor said at the beginning of this meeting. When you're in a difficult place, you must never, never, never give up or stop praying. I can remember my own experience. I was saved about a year, and I was in Bible school, and suddenly there was a spirit of fear. A woman in front of me, a person was in an epilepsy, and wonderful, and a man at this time, and a friend of mine that I was in school with him, and his fear seized me. The spirit jumped on me. As sure as I'm here, and for a year and a half, I battled with fear. I said, how could it be that here's a Christian man, he's praying, he's fasting, and he's got an epileptic. What keeps us? How can we be safe? I began to pray, and a terrible spirit of fear seized me. I don't know what circumstances happened in your life, but that was one of the greatest trials of my life. And I couldn't understand it. How he's praying and we're fasting, and this man, Steve Turco happens to be his name, was having these seizures one after another. He was a great, very talented young man. And he played a beautiful violin. And one night he's in the orchestra in a large crowd, hundreds of people about like this, with a big crowd. And he has a seizure and falls down and throws his violin down and falls on, knocks the chairs down, and he's shaking and foaming at the mouth. And I thought, look, there's a boy, we're fasting and praying, and the devil can do this to him. He can, well, what's to keep me? And for a year and a half, I prayed. I was the last one up. I sought God, I'd get the victory, and then fear would come on me. I didn't have any confidence. How do I know I'm safe? If this can happen to him, it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. We're not safe. And I prayed and prayed and saw God. I was the last, and I made a covenant. God, if you deliver me, I will praise you as long as I live. And that's a long time ago, and I'm praising God right on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the lesson is this. Make a covenant. The lesson is this. And God delivered me, and God brought me out, and he brought Steve out. And years later, and finally God said to me, listen, you don't know what's wrong with Steve, but I know what's wrong with him. You don't understand why I don't heal him, but I know why I don't. And you have got to trust me, son. You've got to trust me when you understand the circumstances, and when you don't understand the circumstances, you have to trust me. And I want to put that to you tonight, to some people here. I want to help you. You have to come to a place where you trust God when you understand the circumstances and when you don't understand it. When you don't know what's going on, you've got to get faith strong enough that you can trust God, that I believe in you. I don't understand it. I don't know why this is happening, but I am trusting in you because I know you know. I know you know. I know you know. And God said to me, what you have to know is that I know. You have to trust me. Now, I know. And if I wanted to tell you, you would know. But I'm not going to tell you now, because you have got to learn to trust me beyond reason, beyond circumstances, beyond anything. You've got to put your trust in a living God and never surrender. And I got the victory. And listen, something wonderful happened to me. This song was born in that cave. This psalm, one of the greatest, was born in the cave and out of a trial. Out of my seeking God. I was the last one at the altar for that year and a half or 2 years, right on. I became the last one. In Bible school, I was always the last one to leave. I was the first one at the altar and the last one to leave. I stayed that way. I sought God with all of my heart, prayed, fasted, sought God. But in the third year of my schooling, one day I stood up. I never testified till my last year. Never, I had no courage, no confidence. Couldn't stand up, couldn't speak, couldn't face an audience. But I stood up and the power of God struck me. Hallelujah. From my head to my feet. And I preached with beyond myself. The power came on me. The anointing came on me. My cave experience brought the blessing. Hallelujah. And brought a covenant. And some years later, about 10 or 12 years later, I was pastoring for a short time. I pastored in Revere, Massachusetts for a year and a half out of Boston, north of Boston. And in that church was Steve's mother, and I knew her. And the first meeting I went to after I'd preached, I was pastoring there for a short time while I was away from New York. And I came, I said, Sister Turco, tell me, what happened to Steve? She said, Pastor, let me tell you, he got worse. When he left school, he got so bad that I cried and said, God, either heal Steve or take him. I can't take it anymore. I said, what did happen? She said, what do you think happened? God healed him. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, about 10 years, 5 or 7 years ago, I was telling this story right here one night, and praise God, I was telling the story, and Steve came up and spoke to me and said, hey, I'm here, I'm married, praise God, I come to hear you. He was out in Long Island. He said, I come to tell you, praise God, I'm married, I'm doing wonderful, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what's the lesson? When you're in the cave, you don't surrender. When you're in the cave, you make a covenant with God. You deliver me and I will praise you. You make David's covenant. You bring me out and I am not going to forget it. I am not going to forget it. I am going to serve you. I am going to listen to you. I am going to talk about you. I am going to glorify you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get together with God's people. And he says, oh, come, let us rejoice together. Let us magnify the Lord together. There's power in coming together. When you really want to praise God, there's power in coming together. I love this choir. I love this music. Because when we sing and they sing and you lift, it can lift you up. It can lift you above your problems. Hallelujah. There's power. There's power. There's power in praise. Come on, let's praise him tonight. Let's praise him tonight. Hallelujah. There's power in praise. God answers consistent prayer. You don't surrender. You hold on like David did. And the answer comes. Hallelujah. And Psalm 34 was born. Hallelujah. In the cave. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and their faces were radiant. This poor man cried and the Lord saved him. Then he says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord he says, you know what delivered me? When I was back and the king and I was afraid they were going to kill me at Gath. And I was afraid Saul was. He said, the angel of the Lord delivered me. God's angel kept me. God's angels. There's angels that are ministering spirits that watch over you, that are going to keep you. The angel of the Lord encamps. He hangs out. He makes his camp. He sets up a camp around about those that fear him. The angels are with you. Praise God. And if you only could realize it, angels have helped you, or you wouldn't be here tonight. Angels have watched over you and helped you and helped us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love it. Years ago, I read C.M. Ward. Many of you wouldn't know him, but he was a great radio evangelist and became a personal friend of mine. And he told a story in one of his books about a young man that had an angelic experience. And I was so anxious, I wanted to meet the man. So some years later, I was in Switzerland, and he was from Switzerland, this young man that had had this angelic experience. So I had him tell it to me. I'd read it, then I had him tell it. Marvelous. He said he married a Jewish girl in World War II, a Christian Jew. And they tried to kill her, of course, to kill 6 million. And she and he barely escaped. They were on the train coming to Switzerland, and the Gestapo, looking for any Jews on that train to get them, walked by them back and forth. And he and his wife, and she's Jewish, sat there. And the Gestapo never saw him, never saw her. And she escaped, and they got into Switzerland. And they'd been there some few short time and had their apartment. And of course, Switzerland was a neutral country, and they were safe to a degree. And he said, this morning, our money was gone. And this time every week, we'd do our weekly shopping. And my wife, the Jewish wife, wonderful Jewish Christian, sat down and wrote all of the groceries that we always get and wrote off the list like she always did for me to go get them. And then she laid it down. We sat there and thought we've nothing. He said about an hour or so passed, and a knock came on the door, and a man dressed in a white coat like they do in Europe in places, a groceryman, in a white coat with all of these groceries, and came in and said, these are your groceries, and set them down on the table. And then he turned around and walked out, never said anything else, said, here are your groceries, smiled at them and set them down, and they were just stunned. They sat there shocked. And they jumped up when he walked out because there was a window, and he had to pass the window to get out. And when he closed the door, he vanished. And they looked at the groceries, and everything she had written down was in that bag. Everything she had written was in the bag. And I said, he said, it's been several years. And he said, his sons are very prosperous doctors and were very successful. And he says, every year we meet, and my children say, now, Dad, tell us the morning the angel came and brought the food. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels are around you. You know, it's real. Serving God. I tell you, I want you to get it. God is real. His word is real. Angels are reality. God is a reality. And he's taking you through a hard place because there is a higher level for you. God is going to bring you. I never went back. I was always in a higher level with God. Every test brings you up a little closer and a higher level. God is working in you. The anointing came through the test. The psalm is born in the cave, and God will give you a psalm and an experience in the cave. He wants to bring you out. He wants to do great things for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to make you the man and the woman he has dreamed about and planned for you to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this after that. Praise God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try it. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints. Reverential, godly, faith. There is no want to those who fear Him. Young lions lack and go hungry and can't get the food. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He can give you everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, He'll give you. Whatever you need. Hallelujah. I remember Gene and I tell this story because it's so wonderful to me. We were pastoring in Brooklyn and in a mission. It's broken down, 48 broken chairs, a rundown store. It smelled terrible. It looked worse than it smelled. And it was a terrible. We slept on the floor and we had an old mattress we put down there. And then we went from there to a cellar. We lived in the cellar for about 7 years. No one was supposed to be there. Oil tank by our bed. And they'd fill the oil tank and the oil would run all over on the bed. And we had to learn how to get rid of kerosene on the bed. And this is where we stayed for almost 7 years. And while we're down there, we need a car. I'm going and picking up children. I'm working. And I have a few dollars that my father-in-law has given me. And I'm praying for a used car. I remember exactly where I was praying. I was kneeling at the couch by in the kitchen. Every morning I kneel and pray, God, give me a good car. Give me a Chevrolet. Give me a Chevrolet. I don't know why I said Chevrolet. Said Chevrolet, and give me and let it be in good condition. Let it look good, have good tires, and have nothing wrong with it because I can't afford to fix it. And let me have it. And I'm praying this prayer every day. God, now give me this good car. Give me, you know, let it be in good shape, nice car, Chevrolet. And one day I'm praying. The faith of God comes into me, and the Lord said to me, just powerful. He said, while you're asking for all those conditions, why not you just say, give me a new car? And I did. And I said, and the faith, I said, thank you, God, for giving me a new car. A new car. I ran in and told Jean. She was writing and she looked at me like, maybe you better pray again. The faith wasn't so strong. We didn't have any money for you. And you couldn't even get a new car. It was the end of the war. You could not get a new car. I said, God's going to give us a new car. I just knew it. A couple of days left, a man came in and sat down with us. We're talking. And he says, you need a new car. I said, amen. I need a new car. And he said, I'm the man to give it to you. I've just had a new car issued to me, and I'm giving it to you. Isn't that fantastic? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What kind was it? A Chevrolet, of course. Hallelujah. You know, whatever you need. Whatever you need, you can pray. God in heaven, He brought the groceries. He gave me the car. He'll do for you. Folks, it is incredible. He, all of your needs, whatever. He says, whatever you need when you're serving God. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack. Say lack. Shall not lack any good thing. And then he gets so inspired, he says this, come children, listen to me, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man? Listen carefully. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days? Who is the person that would like to live a long time and see good while you're living? Keep your tongue from evil. Your tongue has to do with the length of your life. And your lips from speaking guile. Truthful, honest, humble lips. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Because he said, those are secrets of life. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching you. And his ears are open to their cries. His eyes are on you and his ears are open to you. Now he says the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. God is frowning on them. And he's thinking and he's looking at them to cut off their remembrance from the earth, to see that they live a short life. His face is against them, and he's seeing to it that their days are shortened. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite, humble spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, I didn't realize that was going to be in there too. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's thank the Lord for that. He delivers them out of them all. Thank you. He delivers them out of them all. It doesn't matter how many problems you have. It doesn't matter how often they come. He will deliver you out of them all. Oh, hallelujah. He guards his bones and not one of them is broken. That's quoted in John 19:36. And those verses that I read to you about the long life are quoted by in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and that's the 10th through the 12th verses. Peter quotes this chapter. He quotes this psalm. Simon Peter quotes part of this psalm that David gave birth to this psalm in the cave. It's where it came, and it's lived. Now, this psalm is 3,000 years old, and it's as powerful today as the day it was written. Hallelujah. It's just as truthful today, just as wonderful today. Now, I love the closing verses. And those who hate the righteous will be desolate, condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those that trust in him will be condemned. The Lord redeems his people. Redemption. Our souls have been redeemed. He has redeemed us. Redemption is buying back. Redemption is the paying the price. Redemption is to buy back that which has been stolen or whatever. In our case, sold out by Satan on the cross. Tonight, I want to talk to those in here that are lost in closing. Jesus Christ paid the redemptive price for your soul. He took your sins on himself and paid the price and the ransom in redemption. His blood, his name being nailed to the cross, his being whipped, his dying, and his taking our place and having the Father turn from his Son. And he bore all of the sin and the condemnation and the price. He was God-man, God's Son. He took your place and bore your sins and cried out, "Why have you forsaken me, God? Forsaken by God, that you could be received by God." He took your place and redeemed you with his price, not of silver or gold, but his blood. That's why if Jesus were standing here tonight, he would cry out to you and he would say, "Whoever is hungry or thirsty, come to me and drink the water of life and you'll be satisfied because I have paid the price for your deliverance. I broke the power of sin. I broke its power. Satan's power was crushed. The power of lying, the power of lust, the power of immorality, the power of any wickedness, of hate, all of the sins and the power of drugs, every power of evil power was broken. And anyone can go free. You've been redeemed. And Satan cannot keep you. It doesn't matter what your sins are. It doesn't matter what your power. They'll say drugs, alcohol, lying, sex, whatever it is. It was broken on the cross. That's a lie that you can't get rid of it. No, you can't. That's true. You can't. But it's a lie that God can't. God already did it. You're free in Jesus. And he would cry out, anyone upstairs, downstairs, anybody that's hungry or thirsty, never found peace. He says, come and drink. I'll give you peace. Satisfy you. I'll satisfy the longing of your soul that sex will never do, that money will never do, that anything will never, whatever you want, it'll never do it. But I will give you the peace, deep peace and joy that the world can't give, can never take away. And it's free. It's free. It's free. And he cried out in the 7th chapter of John's gospel and the last day of the great feast, he cried out, anyone thirsty, come and drink the water of life. He wants to give it to you tonight. And I would like to invite you to come tonight and find, give him the, open your heart. Don't, I can't do it. No, you can't. I understand that. God understands it. We all understand it. And it's true. You can't, but God will. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. He set me free. He'll set you free. He'll set anybody free. His power is the same. And it's as real tonight as it was the day that he died on the cross. He'll set you free if you'll come down and ask him, invite him in. You can't do it. Don't try. Just give yourself to him tonight. I want you to come now as the pastor comes. And those of you that are struggling, that are in the cave, pray the prayer. Stay with it. And out of your life will be born a great experience. You'll be closer to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The pastor's going to come at this time and bring you down. Praise God. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Crandall. Let's all stand, if you will, please, this evening. Remember, Psalm 34 begins with the words, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's the essence of confidence. It's you and I saying in the midst of our trial, long before we get out of the cave, the difficult situation, we say, God, I'm making the choice to trust you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to praise you. And I'm not going to make it, my praise is not going to be circumstance dependent, because you're going to keep me. If I have to spend 5 years in the cave, you're going to keep me. If you take me out tomorrow and give me the courage to, in David's case, to rule a nation, I'm going to still praise you. I'm not going to be dependent on my circumstance. You are God. You are worthy to be praised. You have promised to keep me in the palm of your hand, and you will. I will not be overpowered by my enemies. I'm not going down to defeat. I'm not giving in to depression. I'm not going to be living a life captivated by evil. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to know the power of God. And I'm going to begin tonight by lifting my voice. And I'm going to praise you for who you are. I'm going to praise you for what you did on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. When you said it was finished, it is finished. The power of hell and death and sin is broken. The victory is mine. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to praise God with everything I've got. I'm going to thank God and just absolutely irritate the devil. Because Satan himself knows that when you begin to praise, there's something about that song of praise and victory that causes the prison door to open, the blinded eyes see, the wounded hearts are healed, those that are weak are made strong. The devil looks down from wherever he is. I don't think he looks down. I think he looks up. He's got a periscope and it brings it up. Says, what is that guy doing at the altar tonight? Don't we have him bound up? Don't we have him in the fire of affliction? Didn't we stick him in a lion's den? And didn't we seal the stone? Isn't he dead and in the grave? Isn't his name Lazarus? How come he's praising tonight? How come he's suddenly singing? Where did he find out? Who told him that when he begins to sing that all hell has to break its power and let its hold go? Hallelujah. Folks, it's the beginning of the victory when you just make the choice to say, I'm not staying here. I'm not bowing down to what the devil wants to plant in my heart and my circumstance tells me my present and future is. God has promised me life. This life is mine. I'm going to make the choice to praise him tonight. If you are wise tonight, that's what you will do in the midst of your own trial. Slip out of wherever you are. Make your way to this altar. We're going to spend the next 5 to 10 minutes just praising God. God bless you. You know, all night tonight, the Lord's been speaking to this gathering, this assembly. And he's been speaking the same word right from the beginning of the service. All the scriptures, all the sharing, all the songs. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, that means hunger, or nakedness or peril or sword, or that means anything and everything that could be thrown against us? No, Paul says, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded. You know, when I was a young pastor, I don't tell this story very often, and I don't tell it for effect, but it is true. Because this happened to me. And I was a young pastor pastoring a church, and seemed like I took on more than I could handle for a season. And I was learning as I was going, and the church was growing fast, and I didn't have a whole lot of skill about leading a congregation that size. And I wasn't used to dealing with people's problems, and I just got overwhelmed. I got absolutely overwhelmed. And one Sunday morning, I was in church, and I was so down, I couldn't even raise my hands. I couldn't clap my hands. I tried to sing and nothing would come out of my mouth. I was absolutely at the end. And I remember saying, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on. As wonderful as this has been, it's over today. And a voice, not a thought in my mind, not a warmness in my, a voice right beside me said, I've come to help you. And it stunned me because I actually jumped when I heard it and I turned to see who was speaking to me. There was nobody there. And on the strength of what I knew was God giving me a sign, I stepped in the pulpit that day and I've never turned back from that day forward. Never turned back. I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things now that I'm going through, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you came to him, he came to you. He took up residence inside of you, and he said, I've sealed you in my Father's hand, and I will never let you go. Nothing is going to take you down. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that I could be that voice for somebody that just says, I've come to help you. You're not going to be left alone. You're not going to be left in weakness. You're not going to be overcome by things that are too deep and too hard for you to get through. The Lord's going to be with you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to keep you. And that will be your song and that will be your testimony. Like David, you're going to be able to say, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never, not one time. And Father, thank you, Lord, for this night. For this night, you've come with a message, a single message to us. Those that you knew were going to be here, those of us that you knew needed this word, that we will not be overcome by any of our own weaknesses or any of the things that hell itself and life will throw against us. You have bound the honor of your own name in keeping us, Lord, through this time that we live in and right into eternity. Father, we thank you for it. God, I thank you, Lord, that these weapons of the devil become nothing in the presence of a holy God. Lord, give this revelation into the heart of your strength. And Lord, let nobody leave here saying the same things they were saying when they came in this door. Let the words of faith that you've given to us, Lord, let this be our testimony. Let it be our song. God, may we leave here singing, even if the circumstance doesn't change. But God, the song can change. You can put a song within us, Lord, that cannot be taken away from us. And Father, we thank you for it. We bind every work of the devil, every power of evil. Satan, we stand against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand against everything that you are bringing against every man, every woman of God who is at this altar. We stand against you in the name of the Lord, and we say to you, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord that conquered you, rebuke you. You cannot take our testimony. You cannot have our song. You will not take our strength. You will not triumph over us. For the living Christ has bound the honor of his name in keeping us. We stand on that. We believe that. We're going to confess that. We're going to sing that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to live that. And we're going to see it fulfilled in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for victory, Lord. Thank you, God, for victory. Thank you for a shout of praise in our hearts, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. We stand against that thought of suicide. We stand against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is worth living. Life has meaning. Life has a tomorrow. Life has a future. Life has an eternity. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a reason to live. I have a reason to praise him. I have a reason to give God glory. I have a reason to stand and believe and sing and give him glory. Christ is my strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. We're not going under, we're going over. Every last one of us are going over. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We got to go with a victory song. We got to go with a victory song. Glory to God, glory to God. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Give the devil a black eye tonight and sing the praises of God.